to you all. It's not from me. I was going to put all my notes in there, but I thought it'd be a bit awkward going down all the time. Just a few verses from it. The Bible, if read, won't leave you blue, but will reveal who loves you. Liverpool are red, Everton are blue. Their fans worship men. How about you? When you go to a football match, you spend 45 minutes worshipping men. 45 minutes. Then you go down and you have your pint, your coke, your cup of tea, your pie. And then you come back and you worship again for 45 minutes. Then, if you're a Liverpool supporter, you do another 30. And then you take your penalties. But all of that time is spent jumping up and down out of your seat, shouting at the pitch, worshipping men. The fans worship men. How about you? Is 45 minutes too long to spend in worship? Have a cup of tea, have a pie, spend another 45 minutes, possibly another 30, possibly penalties, and then go home and spend all week talking about it. Just a thought. Go back to me. Have you ever wondered how Valentine's Day started? When I was looking on the internet, there was lots of stories of how Valentine's Day started. Not how it is today, all commercial, like every other holiday becomes commercial and it's all about the money. One of the traditions that I looked up, I quite liked, and it's about Saint Valentine, who was a priest in Rome about 250 years after the birth of Jesus. Claudius was the emperor at the time, and he was known as Claudius the Cruel. Most people didn't like him, even Valentine. Well, Claudius wanted to have a great big army so he could go out and conquer more territory. And so he called for a recruitment drive, and nobody came forward. The men would rather stay at home with their girlfriends and their wives. And this made Claudius really, really angry. So he decided he'd create a new law. He put a ban on marriage. He said there would be no more marriage. Well, of course, all the young people didn't take this very well. It wasn't very popular. And Claudius made that decree. But Valentine decided, well, I'm not going to abide by that law. If people want to get married before God, then then I will marry them. Whoever put this here, thank you very much. And so he continued to marry people in secret, of course, and he'd whisper the marriage vows, but with one ear always listening to the door to hear if the soldiers were coming to arrest them. I'm just going to read Psalm 40, verses 9 to 10. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord. You yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Sometimes it's dangerous to stand up against injustice, hatred, or prejudice. It's hard to stand against the opposite views of the world when the world says it should be done one way, when we know that the Bible tells us to do it another way? When we're told that we can't speak of our Jesus and we can't tell people of his love, then we should proclaim his love to people. Valentine did, so should we. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." People who don't believe in God, don't want to believe in God, they think that the cross is just foolishness. So we can expect opposition as we walk through our daily lives, as we talk about Jesus. People who don't want to know about Jesus, don't want to know about God, because they don't want to face the sin that is in their lives. The message is just foolishness to them. So it's not always easy to stand up for Jesus or tell of his love. But that's not an excuse for us to be silent. When we come against opposition and people just don't want to listen and can be quite nasty at times, there isn't an option. We have to remain true to Jesus. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Paul explains how boldness to proclaim the truth comes to us. In Romans 5:5, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in the hearts by the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit and the agape love of Jesus Christ, a love that can only be given by God to believers for the lost. See, in the Greek, there was three forms of love. There was porneia, philo, and agape. And the porneia is where the root word for pornography, where it relates to lust. So we see somebody for the first time and we're attracted to them. If it goes further, it becomes lust. And then we have the philo love, which is the love of a family, the love that we have for our spouse, our children, and siblings. But it doesn't extend further. But then a love for those people who actually hate us, who persecute us, how do you love them? In the natural, we can't. But God pours a love in us, which is his agape love, which allows us to love those who don't love us and those who persecute us. And so with the Holy Spirit and the agape love of Jesus, we can be transformed, just like the disciples were. They were a band of people who followed Jesus and at the crucifixion were scattered. Yet when the Holy Spirit came, when Jesus rose from the dead, the Holy Spirit came, they got a love for people who persecuted them beyond any understanding. It gave them a boldness to proclaim the gospel. And according to tradition, all of the disciples, except for John, went to a cruel death at the hands of the people they went to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. To them, denying Jesus was not an option. They were told if they would just deny his name, they would live. And to them, it wasn't an option. And so Paul wrote a letter of encouragement to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:8. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God." Not everyone will listen. Some will stop us, and some people will actually avoid us. They'll stop associating with us. And we should be willing to share the gospel of Jesus, but never ever ram it down people's throats. That's not the way to do it. We've got to do it through love. Because Jesus said in John 3:17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." We've all met people who just tell people they're sinners, they're going to hell, and that's it. They don't tell them about the loving Saviour who came and was crucified for them. The message is love. Yet there is condemnation and there is a place called hell. But the message Jesus brought was love. He loved the people that much, he didn't want them to go to those places. Jesus died for them. You won't convince people of the gospel just by telling them the truth. If you're telling them of God's love, unless they see love in you, they're not going to believe. So back to the story. One night, Valentine was conducting a marriage service when they did hear footsteps at the door. The couple escaped, but Valentine was arrested, and his sentence was death. They sentenced him to death for going against the decree of the emperor. And in John 15:13, it says, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Jesus said, genuine love is seen in a person willing to die for another. We don't really face life and death situations on a daily basis. We may never get the chance to die for another. But every day, we can die to self. We can die to what we want. And then support people in what they need and what they want. We have that chance to sacrifice for another. Sacrifice our personal preference that others may be blessed. John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Jesus said in John 15:13, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Again, this doesn't mean to physically die for another, but to sacrifice our needs for the needs of others. In Galatians 2:20, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul explains further in Galatians 5:24, "And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." The old nature, which causes us to be selfish, must be crucified. You can't walk in love and be selfish all at the same time. So try it today. Sacrifice what's important to you for your loved ones. What's more important to you today? What are your plans? Are they the plans of your family, of your spouse? Look at the couple in the sketch. They had different opinions, and they both had their ideas of where they were going without any thought for the needs of the other person. It was all about what they wanted out of that relationship, not what was best for the other person. So back to the story. Valentine was in prison, and people would come along and they'd throw letters and notes through the window and flowers, because they cared for him and they appreciated him. And one of the people who did appreciate him was the daughter of the jailer. So the jailer allowed her to visit Valentine every day. So every day she'd come and speak to him and express that her belief was the same as his, and that she believed in marriage and that's what she'd hoped to do one day. And so this went on for some time, until the day he was put to death. And on the day he was put to death, he wrote her a letter. And in the letter, he thanked her for her friendship and her fellowship. And on the day that he was put to death was February the 14th, I've got the date written down, but it's not here. And so that's why people started to send letters of love to each other. And it wasn't just to somebody they wanted to marry. It was to friends. It was to family. It was to mothers. It was to fathers. To show appreciation for the love that had been shown to them. In John 3:16 it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So we believe in Jesus, and we're saved. But are we a loving people? Do we love those people outside who are lost? Those people outside who don't know Jesus? Those people outside who are destined for hell? Unless somebody in love goes and tell them about the love of Jesus. Jesus did come to save us, and he came to save them also. Through his death on the cross, Jesus made a way, and we choose whether we love him and follow him. We choose whether we allow that love to come and permeate our lives to touch others. And God is love, the source of true love. And so with Valentine, he gave his life for what he believed in. Do we give our lives for what we believe in? Or do we go about doing our own thing? Do we appreciate what Jesus has done for us? And when we come in an act of worship, do we express to him our love for him? Or sometimes, is it just too much? Is it just too much sometimes to express our love to him? Amen.